Let's pray as we begin. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Heavenly Father, you are amazing in your wisdom and knowledge, and even more so in that you make them known to us through your word. And you want to teach us what you're like, so that we're not left wondering. And we pray that you do that now as we look at John chapter 1, please open our eyes to behold the wonderful things that are in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, who is this Jesus? Born in a manger, walked around Galilee, the one we hand our lives over, the one we ask people to convert to. What's so special about him? Is there anything, if you look around the world today, you think probably not? You know, people go, bleh, using his word as a swear word, his name as a swear word, treating him as if he's just like a blob of poo on the pavement. If we were interviewing him for a job and we asked him for his CV, what would be on it? What would be his job history? Did he have any previous experience? Would we employ him? Well, this week we start a little series looking at John chapter 1. It's the famous head teacher's passage. I don't know, if you had a carol service at your school when you were little, probably this was read, this passage. It's the last Bible passage in the service, and the head teacher read it badly. John starts at the beginning. And he brings a note. I've put in my notes a note of awe and wonder. No. He makes us stand back in awe and wonder. A loud sounding gong of awe and wonder that should leave us rejoicing this morning, especially if you're conscious of how dark the world we're living in is. And as we stand in awe and wonder about this Jesus, who gives the CV of his past experience, his job history, as we stand in wonder, we ask, how shall we respond to this Jesus? So three things I want to point out from the passage. First of all, this: how should we respond to this Jesus? Well, let's worship him because he is God with God. How do we respond? With worship. He is God with God. So the passage starts saying that Jesus is God. And he has been for all eternity. But he's not all of God. The Bible speaks about God as Trinity, three persons and one God. God the Father, God the Spirit, and here, God the Son, Jesus, or the Word, as John describes him. And it's a very wonderful idea, but it's very complicated. And if you've ever been given an illustration to try and help explain the Trinity, it's probably wrong in some way or another, because it's so wonderful. Someone might say, well, is the Father God? Yes. Is the Spirit God? Yes. Is Jesus, the Son, God? Yes. Okay, so there are three gods. No. There's one God. They're completely united and inseparable. One God, three persons. Does it sound a bit mind-blowing? Well, yes it is. Look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now we know that the Word here is Jesus. Okay, and we know that because down in verse 14 he says, the Word became flesh, became a human, and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory. He's talking about Jesus, and that's what his book is about, Jesus. But this description, Word, is a really kind of powerful thing, isn't it? It's a wonderful idea, God speaking in Jesus. One writer on this says, Jesus is God's self-expression. That's Don Carson, his commentary on John. And you've got to think of John, the writer. He was a fisherman, a Jewish fisherman who'd become a Christian. He spoke and wrote Greek. And this word, comes from all of that. So it's a Greek word, logos, and in some kinds of Greek philosophy, it was the ordering principle in the universe. But this guy's a Jew, John, and he's got this background of the Jewish scriptures. And from the first chapter of the Jewish scriptures, the word of God creates and is powerful and brings judgment and rescues the word of God. But John is not just a Jew and a Greek speaker, he's a Christian. And as he uses this phrase, logos, to describe Jesus, he brings into these ideas much more because of who Jesus is and what he knows about Jesus. So here we have God's self-expression, the Word. And the Word is in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Now, if you have read the Bible, you don't have to get very far before you've heard those words. In fact, that's how the whole thing starts in Genesis, in the beginning. And John is presumably consciously copying that and saying it's not just about what you've heard already about creation, but the Word, Jesus, was there. God spoke and created with the word. If you read Genesis, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And Jesus was there, he says, in the beginning was the word. So we're coming up to Christmas. Jesus doesn't start at Christmas. He doesn't start with the baby, or nor even with the conception with Mary that we heard about in the first reading. Jesus existed and was far before that, in eternity. Not as a baby or a human, but as a being, as the Son of God. He existed before the Big Bang, or whatever science God used to make the universe. In the beginning was the Word. And, he goes on, the Word was with God. So Jesus was alongside God, God the Father, in eternity. And we know he's referring to God here as God the Father, because later on in John's Gospel, he prays, Jesus prays, chapter 17, verse 5, he prays like this. He says, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Glorify me, Father, in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. The Word was with God in the beginning. So Jesus is with the Father in eternity. Now some say, oh well, here's how the Trinity works. Here's how I've thought about it. You've got God the Father in the Old Testament, and then along comes Jesus, God the Son, and then you've got God the Holy Spirit once after that. Father, Son, Spirit. Sorted. And John says, no, in the beginning was Jesus, the Word, as well as the Father. And you go, oh, bother, it's more complicated than I thought. And the answer is yes, it is. And he doesn't mention it here, but the Spirit is in the beginning as well. So Jesus is in eternity, right from before the beginning to beyond the end. That's how important and special he is. So he's not just a companion of the Father. He's as divine as the Father is. He's God, just as the Father is God and the Spirit is God. And this is important as well, because some religions want to make Jesus some sort of minor god. So Muslims recognize Jesus as a prophet. Hindus and others might see Jesus as some sort of version of God, of gods, lots of little gods. And others have similar ideas of that. And so John says, no, he's right back there at the beginning with God. And I've missed a point here. He was God. So he was with God and, end of verse 1, the Word was God. So he's alongside the Father, but not just a companion, he's also divine. Now someone might say at this point, this is hard to get my head round. And yes it is, isn't it? Isn't that great? That's the kind of God I want. Otherwise, I might just think that I've made him all up. Yeah? If you could understand everything you thought about God, that's got to be a made-up God, hasn't it? Because he's got to be bigger than what you can think. And me. I mean, hands up, who can understand The Matrix film 3? Now, if you can't understand that, what chance have we got with God when The Matrix is man-made? So it's a good thing that we can't quite work out the Trinity. But the wonderful thing about it is it tells us some really important things about God, and especially about Jesus. Isn't this amazing? John is saying to his readers, and that includes us, as well as those who were there in the first century, he's saying, look, I'm going to tell you this great, all these events, that baby, I'm not going to mention the baby because Matthew and Luke had done that to death. I'm not going to mention the baby, but that ordinary looking guy, that water into wine guy, that healing the blind man guy, the raising Lazarus guy, the walking on water guy, the bread of the 5,000 guy, that dying on the cross guy, that raising from dead an empty tomb guy, he's God, the Word, the Son of God. Wow. Let me bring us back to earth with a bump, an illustration. Have you watched The Masked Singer? A really excellent game show. And the idea behind The Masked Singer is that you've got real singers, celebrity singers, and they dress up in costumes and have these particularly weird head outfits. They're hidden behind, they're masked, and they sing. And you, the audience and the judges, have to try and work out who they are, but also they vote someone off every week. And once they vote someone off, that person is unmasked and revealed. But before that, there are all sorts of clues as to who it could be. And you can hear their voice as well. You know, that must be Elton John or something like that. And famously, Sophie Ellis-Bextor, who is a very good singer, number one singles and that kind of thing. In the series she was on, she went out first. But as they unmasked her, everyone goes, oh, of course, oh, yeah, of course. That makes so much sense. And here's what John is doing. He's unmasking the Jesus that he's going to present to us in his gospel. And as he does this, and he says, look, look, he's actually the Word. In the beginning, with God, was God. We go, oh, of course. It makes so much sense of what we're going to read in the gospel, of all these things that Jesus does and is. John unmasks him. Well, how shall we respond to this Jesus? Worship is a good response, isn't it, to him as he is revealed here. The Lord Jesus is amazing and astonishing. Have you realised how incredible Jesus is? Now, worship is not just singing. Some people use the word worship to describe singing, but it's more than that. It includes our singing together, but it's much more than that. It's the giving of our lives to the object of our worship, every minute in honour and awe. And that's what Jesus deserves, our worship. As we come up to Christmas, it's time we worshipped him properly, isn't it? God with God. Well, John doesn't stop there. There's even more. Let's respond with wonder because he is co-creator. Jesus is co-creator. Now, we're used to the idea of God being creator. That's not a surprise, is it? God is a spiritual being that is bigger than our universe because he actually made our universe. Galaxies, planets, yes. Trees, animals, yes. Humans, God has made them. God keeps us all going. All of it's God's design and exists because of God. This is what we believe. And sustained day to day because of him. The Bible doesn't give us the chemical formulae, but God devised them and work them all out. The Bible doesn't give us the equations of physics, but God is even better than Stephen Hawking with those. God didn't tell us the biological processes, but they're all his outworking. God does give us the theology and the meaning behind it all. God is the creator. And John says, hang on a moment, there's more. Jesus is the creator as well. Look at verse 3. Jesus, that man, remember? The man with sandals walking along the dusty roads of Jerusalem. Verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. You can imagine John sitting there, can't you, in a little room with his parchment or whatever, and he's reflecting on the fact that his wonderful friend Jesus has gone back to heaven after that terrible death and the resurrection. And he's thinking about it. Yeah, yeah. And God is revealing this to him. Through him, my friend Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that's been made. Makes sense. The Lord Jesus, the Word, he's saying, who was in the beginning with God, he was there with the Father doing all of the creating. It's done through him. People use the word the agent of creation to describe this. Maybe that helps you, I don't know. Someone else has described him as being the mediator of creation. And the word through is quite a nice word, isn't it? It's created through Jesus. God the Father creating through the Lord Jesus. Not just John who talks about it like this. Paul in his letters does too. And in the book of Revelation as well, it comes up. So this means then, I mean, again, important things. He isn't part of the creation. See, some people might think, well, Jesus is part of the creation. No, he made it, so he must be outside it. He's bigger than it. Until he actually became to be a human and was born. And so it's important that we don't worship the creation. Again, some religions do. Some religions say, you look at the world and God is in the world somehow. So we worship the world, Gaia, things like that. Or the moon, the sun, the stars. No. John says, these are made by the Father through Jesus. Worship Jesus. Maybe so often we hear about prizes being awarded, don't we? So the Booker Prize gets awarded for someone who's written an amazing book. Or the Mercury Music Prize for someone who's got a great album. And for a little while, those people get really famous. There are videos of them that go viral. Their music is streamed all over the place. And everyone applauds them and they're interviewed all over. And they're praised, honoured, because of their creation. That book, that song. That little book. That little song. And then we stand and look at what the Lord Jesus has done. Wow. Wonder is a good response, isn't it? To Jesus, the co-creator. That this Word, who created with the Father, should become a human. And walk those streets with John and his friends. That this Word, who through whom all things have their being, should die on the cross, taking on himself your and my sin in our place. The hymn writer Isaac Watts wrote these words. Well might the sun in darkness hide. Speaking about on the cross it went dark when Jesus was dying. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ, the mighty maker, died for man, the creature's sin. So as we prepare for Christmas, it's time we stood back and in wonder at the Lord Jesus, isn't it? Worship, because he's God with God. Wonder, because he's co-creator. And let's respond with wholeheartedness, because Jesus, the Word, is life and light. The very essence of life itself is in and is from Jesus. Not surprised when we've seen that he's God with God and the co-creator. And not a surprise when we think about it, when we think about Jesus, that life with all its dimensions, so the life with its physical side to it, that we actually breathe and think and exist and do things, that side of life. Life with its spiritual side, that it's possible to have a relationship with God. And life with its eternal side, because of the Lord Jesus and what he's done. All these things are from him and in him and through him. They're all because of Jesus. And this is what John goes on to next here. Verse 4. In him, the Word, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. So think of life as it should be. Life in the image of God. Life in relationship with the Creator. Eternal life in God's creation. This is what we were made for before our sin and God's judgment. It came from him. And today it's still possible because of him. So John is going to go on to say that famous verse, chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Life is in Jesus. Possible again because of his death and resurrection in our place. Wow. So he's the light of mankind because of this. He's our best feature. He is the purpose and the goal of humanity. And he is what brings joy and hope and glory into the world. The light of mankind. Perhaps you feel that this world is very dark at the moment. Maybe in your personal life, what's going on at home, your family, friends. Maybe look at the politics going on in this country and other parts of the world, international relationships, the climate, and you think, oh, this is a dark, dark place. Yes, we're preparing for Christmas, we're going to put up fairy lights, but look at verse 5. The light shines, this is Jesus, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The worst of our sin can't stop Jesus. And so he's uniquely able to help us, isn't he? Uniquely. Jesus is uniquely able to help us. Where are we going to get life from? And where are we going to get light from? Is it going to come from music? Or sport? Or drugs? Or gambling? Or sex? Or wealth? Mindfulness? Fitness? No. 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 From Jesus? Yes. Only Jesus? Yes. If you're feeling the impact of the darkness of the world, hold on to Jesus. The darkness will never overcome him. The darkness will be as light to him. Psalm 139. And so as we think about this Jesus, wholeheartedness is a great way to respond. Wholeheartedness, giving our all to him, having him at the centre of who we are, and us being all about Jesus, a complete handover. Has what we've been looking at here in these few verses reshaped some of your views? It's got to, hasn't it? Because we wouldn't have thought of this. God is revealing this to us. Is it changing our perspective? It is, isn't it? Is it changing what we think is wise and true? Because Jesus is more central and more important than we realised. Well, let's make changes ourselves. Let's change our timetable, our priorities, our longings, our desires, so that Jesus is at the top of every list. Wholeheartedness is a good response. So who is this Jesus? To the world, sometimes no more than a swear word. But we are going to sing at Christmas, God of God, light of light, come, let us adore him. Let's pray. Just take a moment in your heart to bring to God your response to his word. Perhaps just read through those lines again silently as we respond. Heavenly Father, thank you for the insight that you gave to John the Apostle and that he's written about here, and your revelation of the wonder of the Lord Jesus. And reams of paper have been written on these verses, and we have just probably just scratched the surface. But work in our hearts, Lord, we pray that we would worship him, because he is God with God. that we would stand in wonder at him because he is co-creator. And the wholeheartedness would characterize our faith in him because he's life and light to all. In Jesus' name, amen.